I feel like we need to do something as men to come alongside one another.
Family man, yeah. Welcome to the Family Man Show with Todd Wilson. This is the show where we remind dads of what's most important. I'm your host, Scott Moore. Thanks for joining us today. Hey, Todd, how's it going?
It's going good, Scott. I should ask you, you were on vacation last week. How'd that go?
It was awesome. It was a lot of driving and a lot of gas money.
But, right.
We took... Not only are gas prices insane, but we took two vehicles this year, which we've never done before, because we had to take a couple of the other folks in the family, plus my son-in-law was with us for the first time. So
your son-in-law went with you?
Yes. So it was,
see, they're starting to become a drain on you already. See, this is what they do. They woo their way in, and then you pay for everything.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. But you had a good time?
We did. Caught some
relaxing.
Waves, relaxed a little. Yep. Good family time. I only was ready to kill everybody one night, and that usually happens around Tuesday, which I think is what it was this year. So,
well, that's good. That's good. We are done traveling now, at least for a while, and it feels really good just to be at home and not have to worry about moving on to the next place. We got back from, my wife and I went to Denver, Colorado, to the Rocky Mountain Homeschool Conference. Just she and I went. So it was over our anniversary. I thought, oh, when we booked it, I thought, oh, this will be fun. We'll have, you know, we'll work and have a good time. But we just worked the whole time. It was kind of exhausting. We had just a few, our anniversary day, we had anniversary lunch. And that was about all we got. But it was really a great event. First time it ever happened. This is the most stressful situation we've had. It would have been way more stressful had I had my whole family, but they had a water main break right outside the convention hall. And it ran for 2 hours before anybody saw it. It was middle of night. And so they had this big speaking room that probably held a couple thousand people. It had several inches of water in it, and it just started pushing it through the carpet out into the vendor hall. So they had an emergency meeting on Saturday morning, and they said, all the vendors, they said, well, half the vendor hall is dry, but if you're in that section with Todd Wilson, you're underwater. And there was about 3 inches of water in our booth. Thankfully, I mean, God was super gracious. We had boxes that were underwater with books inside of them, but only we lost one or two books from each box. It was really... Some of those boxes are pretty watertight, at least for hours, maybe not days, but so it could have been terrible. They really hardly shut down the vendor hall at all. It all went on pretty amazingly. The organizational staff did an amazing job, but we're home. Yesterday we celebrated Kids Day at our house, first day of summer. And today is the second day of summer, meaning the days are getting shorter now, which is depressing to me, but we had a great time with not just our kids, but our adult kids and our grandkids. And it was fun to see Rissa, Ben's wife, took their three kids and they went to Dunkin', which used to be called Dunkin' Donuts, and they got donuts. And her little comment was something like, the first day of summer, Wilson's do Kids Day. You know, and I just thought that's so cool that it's been passed on.
That's awesome.
So it was fun.
I don't know what we did on Kids Day. We had Kids Week at vacation, so, you know. And then Father's Day was just, we got home from vacation the day before Father's Day. And then Father's Day, I basically cut the grass and then felt like I was in a coma after cutting the grass from, you know, allergies and stuff. Yeah. That was it.
So, yeah. Father's Day, they celebrated me up good, so I was good. I was good. We got home Father's Day, so they got me in the evening, and it was a fun time. Well, Scott, you know, we have a special guest with us today, Nathan Duncan. If any of you went to the Family Man Rally 1 and 2, you might have talked to him around the putt-putt course or as we played games. But Nathan and I, every once in a while, we talk on the phone or text back and forth. And I love Nathan's heart. I mean, it's for family. It's for God. It's for his wife. And we were talking last week and he just got all passionate and everything. And I thought, you know, we should bottle this up and we should put it on the show because I could try to relay it, but I just thought it wouldn't be as good. So, Nathan, I don't know if we can recreate that, but maybe I should say, first of all, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Todd. I appreciate being here, man. I've listened to it all the time, and now here I am.
Well, hey, why don't you just tell us, just so everybody can kind of get a glimpse into your life. Tell us about your family, you know, what you do for a living. I know you live south of Indianapolis, so.
Yeah, just south of Indianapolis in Whiteland, Indiana. Just moved from the east side of Indianapolis where I lived almost my entire life. So I've been married to my bride for 29 and a half years. We have 8 children. Our oldest just turned 32 yesterday. So, and our youngest is 6. So quite the broad range. We're experiencing most seasons of life all at the same time right now. So
spring and winter.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Grandchildren coming to visit when you still have young children at home. That's always fun. So
that's really amazing.
Yeah. And I work for Penguin Random House, the book publisher. I'm a systems analyst there. So I've been there for about 25 years now.
And you work out of your home, right?
I do. I've worked from home well before all the COVID jazz. I've been working from home for about 14 years. So,
Well, go back in time about a week. And you called me up and I can't remember exactly how the conversation began, but tell me what you were thinking because I don't want to give it away.
Okay. Well, Todd, I mean, you were busy that morning. I know that, man. You were definitely busy. I was hoping for maybe, you know, 30, 40 minutes phone call. And I think we ended up having about a 15, which, hey, it's not your fault, man. Life is busy. So, but just here within the last 2.5 years or so, a lot of, I just see a lot of families that are struggling to the point of separation or divorce or serious problems within their families, within their marriages, within their relationships. And I'll tell you what, these are families that you would look at and that we fellowshiped with for years. And you would say, this would never happen. This would never happen to them. But Todd, it's happened.
Yeah.
And it's the reality of the world that we live in is, you know, we just don't know what tomorrow is going to hold. We're individuals. We make individual choices in the ways that we treat one another, in the ways that we respect and love one another. And, you know, things happen. And, you know, the reason I called you is I don't have this grand plan or this grand idea of what to do. But Todd, I feel like we need to do something as men to come alongside one another. And the thing I keep coming back to is, man, we need one another, but now more than ever. I mean, put aside the tough relationships that good, close friends of mine that are going through right now and just the problems that are in the world as well. We need one another as men now more than ever. So,
well, you know, even as you say that, Nathan, I had a conversation with a guy at this homeschool convention that we were at this past weekend. And, you know, we were just talking and he was super chit-chatty. I mean, you're just laughing and cutting up. And then he said, and I'd never met him before, but he said, okay, so I'm going to stop being silly right now. And he said, he goes, no, I'm serious. And I said, oh, you know, and I was kind of like, oh yeah, right. And he goes, no, really I am. He goes, you know, my marriage is in trouble. He said, in fact, my wife keeps using he couldn't even say it, the D word. He said, she's probably said it 100 times just recently. And I don't know what to do. He said, I'll admit I haven't been a very good husband. I haven't been a very engaged father, but I don't want this to happen, you know? And it was just, I guess, so startling because we went from this cutting up to this. And then we had another conversation with another family whose life is blowing up with children that just heartbroken over kids who are, you know, broken relationships. And when you look at these people, you think, oh, no, they're good old Joe. You know,
Right.
So how do you think, I mean, I'm not asking you to answer it. How do you think we stupid guys get into these positions where really nobody wants to be there? Even the ones who cheat on their wives, you know, if you ask them 3 years before that happens, they'd be like, Peter, there's no way I would do that to my wife. You know, I am faithful to the end. And I've heard them say those things, mm-hmm. you know, and then we're like, whoa, how did we get here?
Well, I think, for me, I'll preface, I don't have all the answers. I'm not a biblical scholar. I'm not a therapist. I'm not a counselor. But, you know, I can see these men. And Todd, I'll tell you, some of these men are very, very dear to my heart. We've been friends for a long time. We have a long-standing relationship. And, you know, there's no other way to describe it. English is a bad language for this. I mean, my heart just breaks for them to the point where it almost, Todd, hold on, let me take a little detour here. I'm telling you, it almost affects me to the point where I have to be careful with how careful I am with my marriage. Mm. I don't know if you understand. I want to feel for the situation. I want to have compassion. I want to help these men. But at the same time, man, I can't let those situations and my abilities and my desires to help interfere with what I have to accomplish within my own marriage. Mm. And, you know, even my wife has mentioned that. It's like, Nathan, I understand where you're coming from, but
don't forget me.
Yeah. Don't forget our family right. Wanting to help to, you know, these men. So now to circle back around, I think that I'm not your typical kind of guy. I'm a very relational kind of guy. I've got a lot of really close friends and even more acquaintances outside of that. Mm. I know that's not the typical guy per se. I've got sons that are not like that. So I see those perspectives, but we have to realize our need for one another. We do, I think, is the number one thing we have to do is, yes, we may be okay on our own. Yes, we may be able to accomplish these things on our own, but there's strength in numbers. If you have two or three good, close friends where you can walk together, where you've experienced life together, where you are real with one another, you don't just talk about the fun vacations that you've had and the neat times that you've had and the wonderful situations that you've shared, but you talk about the mud and the mire and the filth and the garbage that you go through in daylight. Todd, life is not pretty all the time.
Yeah.
You talk about that. Scott, you talk about that. And that's okay. That's okay that it's not like that, because it gives us the opportunity to love one another. Love requires a sacrifice. Mm. You know, we sometimes have to give up what we want for the other person. The real biblical definition of the love that we talk about all the time is charity. Charity requires you giving something up. Mm. It's not just a feeling. It's not just a word. You've got to give up what you want for the betterment of others. You know, and as men, we get mired down in the day-to-day, in the maintenance and the taking care of things and the managing the things. And we forget about the long-term ramifications that all of our actions have, all of our words have, not only on our wives, but on our children and our friends.
Well, let me ask you a question, because you said, you know, these are the relationships that you're talking about right now, or the ones you began this conversation with. These are not guys that we would call those fringe guys, you know, the ones that, you know, that you see every once in a while, they show up to church or you pass them in the hallway. These are close friends to you that you have. How did those close friend guys, how did they slip under the radar? You know, did you see things that were beginning to happen? Would you have said, ooh, I thought that was a, you know, I could see this coming down the pike, or were you blindsided?
I would say overall, Todd, I was blindsided. Mm. I mean, just absolutely blindsided. There, you know, hindsight's always 20/20.
Right.
When you look back, of course, there are minor things here or there, and maybe even some big things here or there where I'm like, man, if I had only said something. But it's not only on me. I mean, so I may have said something, so I may have asked a question, but it's up to the person to respond to the question and to be real. And you know, when you say, hey, I saw this, is everything okay? You can't just say, yeah, man, everything's great, if everything's not great.
So why do we do that? I mean, really, my wife and I were talking about this, even as it relates to health, how, you know, guys just die in the saddle because, you know, I was trampled by a mule, but I thought I could shake it off. And, you know, they die the next day. And that is all the time. And I said, I don't know why it is, but I feel the same way. I'm the same way where I don't want to maybe admit that I'm human or frail, or that maybe I don't even just feel good. And then we die, or, you know, we do something really stupid and we kill our families.
Yeah. Well, and I think one of the things we can do is realize the eternal vision that we should have as those of us that belong to the body of Christ. We are literally, I mean, when you read in Romans, we are literally married to Christ. We are his bride. So what do we expect from our brides? You know, what do we now? I mean, we don't expect them to wait on us hand and foot and service constantly. And, you know, hey, babe, bring me another, you know, soda from the fridge while I chill and you work on planning homeschool for the next year. Mm-hmm. You know, but what does that relationship look like? How do we get that eternal vision? And what are the commitments that we've made? You know, when we play, just real quick, when we play board games with our children, we have some children that sometimes they're not doing well, or they see another opportunity that they want to do. And we let them know, like, no, you sat down to play the game. You're going to finish this game. Whether you're having a good time, whether you're winning, whether there's something else going on. I mean, things come up. If something really happens and you need, that's different. But like, look, you committed when you sat down and told your brother and your mom, look, I'm going to play. Then you finish what you start. You play until the end of the game, irregardless of the outcome.
It's a Jumanji thing.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. The old Jumanji.
That's the old. Yeah, I haven't seen the new one. The old one. Jumanji.
It's actually not too bad. So, so that commitment that we've made, when we think about it from the perspective of that eternal vision, it's not a commitment just to our bride. It's not a commitment just to our family. But I'm telling you, that makes so much of a difference. It really does in the world. I mean, we can talk about statistics, you know, and I've got some notes on, and I think you've actually talked about it as well just recently. But that commitment is not only to our families and our children and to the body of Christ here. Those commitments are to God. You know, we made a commitment to our bride, and that is, he wants that to be a lifelong commitment. The reason it's not is because of our hard-heartedness. His desire is that none of these things happen. But he understands, and he knows that men's hearts can be hard. And yes, there is permission for divorce, but I'm telling you, it is not the Lord's will that we would divorce, or that we would separate, or that we would cause these relationships, whether they be within the body of Christ, with our children, or with our wives, for them to deteriorate and to go away. So I think that the biggest thing is we need to remember our commitment that we made and see it to the end, you know, whether it's rosy, whether it's good, whether it's tough. I mean, you see it to the end because it's a commitment that you made. So.
Well, I maybe it just dawned on me as you were talking and you said it, you said the words, and this sounds bad when I say it, but really the key to this is not about what others are going to say to me or really what you're going to say to others, but what it's all about me, that I need to be the one who is responsible for my actions. I need to be the one who's responsible to find someone that I can say, I need your help. Or like this guy that I was across the table from, he brought it up. I didn't ask him any questions. And I think that really makes a lot more sense, because I think you're right. When we say, how you doing, you know, really there aren't many guys who say, oh, not very good. They usually do say, oh, fine. And we go, oh, that's good. And then we go on. Even though I have noticed that sometimes when you push a little harder, guys will open up a little bit more. We had some, not friends, but I knew a guy, and I knew that there was something squirrely with his daughter in some weird relationships. I mean, kind of the Sunday night movie kind of relationships. And I said, so how are you guys doing? And he said, oh, we're doing great. And then I asked him again about, I don't know, same time that day. I said, so are things going okay? And he said, yeah, I think so. And I said, really? And he said, really, we're falling apart. And then he went into that. But, you know, and really, I only pushed because I kind of wondered, I knew something was going on. But maybe for dads, you know, if we know something's going on or something, maybe we push a little bit harder. And maybe guys need, maybe we need a little prodding to be real, you know, that we don't want to admit it at first. We think, I don't want to get into it. But maybe with it, just a little more prodding, we'd say, you know, I'm not doing very good right now.
Yeah. So, and the thing is, I mean, we as men on a daily basis, the one thing that we share in common with everyone, and the one thing that we can't get more of, is time. Mm-hmm. It's just not possible. I mean, I can go get a different job and earn more money. I can pick up a second job and earn more money. I can sell some things around the house and earn more money, but I can do absolutely nothing to earn more time. Mm-hmm. And we all share the same pot of time. So the thing with that is there are a lot of resources available to us. Todd, I buy a lot of the calendars each year because I love it for myself and for my children, you know, and I give them out, but I mm-hmm. give them out to a lot of my buddies as well, because it is just a wonderful resource that people can use for encouragement and ideas. And it's interesting, the day that I called you, which was last Tuesday, the 14th, that day's entry was for Flag Day, but the sponsor for that day was the Mentoring Men website. Mm-hmm. And one of the things I was calling about was, you know, what are we going to do? Sorry, not what are we going to do, but what can we do to facilitate getting into the lives of one another to the point where we can be real with one another and know that we have each other's best mm-hmm. in mind. So when you ask that guy, you know, how's it going? If you've got no relationship, if you've got no foundation, most guys are not going to feel comfortable and willing to be vulnerable with you and to open up. Mm-hmm. So it's the same way with our families. You're going to elicit the most change in your family where the relationships are the deepest on some levels, not on all levels, but on some levels. So these men that you have relationships with, you would hope that you can go the deepest and be the most real with them. Now, that, again, that's not always the case. Some guys are just willing and ready to open up. But I've got one of the gentlemen who is having some trouble with his marriage. He let me know, and I said, hey, brother, you know, if there's anything I can do, if you ever need to talk, talk as couples, because it's always wonderful to hear both sides. You don't want to mm-hmm. rely on just one side. If you only have one side, that's all you get. All right. But you really need both sides to be able to help someone. Because no matter where you're at in your marriage, you must love your wife. So you must, even in the toughest of circumstances. So I texted him that, and he responded. And he's like, you know, brother, we live kind of far away from you now. We don't see each other that much anymore. And I sent a big, massive text message back to him and said, brother, look, we have fellowshipped and walked together for over a decade. We've been through troubles and trials. We've seen people come and go, but our relationship has endured. It may not be as close as it used to be. You know, I mean, I sent him a multi-paragraph text message, and he responded and said, man, I can really see that you care. I'm sorry that I approached it that way. He's like, and then he let me know, hey, here's some mm-hmm. things you can be praying for me about. Let's do breakfast. And we did breakfast, and we've done multiple breakfasts since, multiple lunches. And I see some glimmers of hope in his relationship. And I think he has learned a lot about himself over the years, and a lot about his family over the years. So to me, that's encouraging, not that he had to go through that to get there, but it's encouraging that he hasn't given up.
Mm.
I mean, it would have been so easy with some of the things that he's been through to just give up and move on and think the grass is greener, you know, somewhere else. But he's talked about his commitment to his wife and his commitment to his children and seeing it through. And mm-hmm. I'm telling you, that's going to pay off. I mean, it may not look exactly like he hopes. It may not ever be what it used to be, but it makes a difference, the decisions that we make.
Well, I think you're absolutely right. I mean, even the Bible says, you know, let us not grow weary in doing good, mm-hmm. for we will reap a reward.
Amen.
If we do not grow weary and stop. You know, and I think sometimes we forget that, whether it's a parenting or marriage or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I think you're absolutely right. So, Nathan, so what would you say to the guy? Because I know there's guys, again, my wife and I had this conversation. I said, isn't it amazing after we were at this conference, how you look at these people and you think, oh, I bet they've got everything all together. Or maybe you don't say that in your head, but you just kind of say, they're doing good. And really, of those people, we thought that they were falling apart. I mean, their hearts were broken. So I'm going to guess that lots of the people listening, you know, are feeling that way in whatever level. you know, maybe they're not at the end of their marriage line, but maybe they just had a long road to hoe, you know, and they're just tired. They're tired. Or maybe it's a kid, or, man, I've had so many dads say, you know, my son doesn't know if he's a boy anymore. Or my daughter is like, she says she's a lesbian, you know, and I know they think I am the only one facing this. But maybe those guys are listening right now and they feel a little of that hopelessness. What would you encourage them? Maybe a first step, not all the steps, but what would be a good first step, Mr. Therapist?
far from it. Man, that's loaded there, Todd. Wow. I would say, man, the tough thing is to remember, man, it's so hard, especially in today's age with social media, you know, because no one posts, man, today was horrible. Here's all the things that happened. I mean, unless they're trying to get likes or responses or whatever, you know, it's all rosy and vacation pictures. Those are okay. They have their place, but you know, I would say number one, realize that you're not alone. Mm. Come on. We all live in the same world. Okay. Yeah. We all live in a fallen world. We all have a flesh that wants things. We all have a flesh that desires things. And the only way to overcome those things is through the Lord Jesus. And that's what we should all have in common, is our love for Christ. When we counsel one another, we should point one another to our groom, to Christ. Mm. And don't go it alone. I don't care how good you think you are. I don't care how much you think you can handle it. Look, you need to have, this is just me talking here. I don't have a list of scriptures to give you or resources to tell you to go read that's going to verify this. You need a couple of good close buds, you know. Mm. And, you know, I have great relationships with my sons. I have great relationships with my mom and my dad. And, you know, those are good, solid relationships. And obviously with my wife. But there are things that I would not want to share with my sons. Mm. There are things that I shouldn't share with my sons. There are things that I wouldn't necessarily approach with my dad. There are things that I honestly don't always share with my wife because I don't want to burden her with those things. Or maybe they're just not things that she can necessarily help with. They might not be in her wheelhouse. But if you have a good set of two or three good close buds that you can share that with, I'm going to tell you this. I think that a lot of guys would say, oh, well, they're going to be just like me, maybe not resources that are going to be able to offer me perspectives. That's where there's power in numbers. If you've got a good two or three guys, my guess is within the three or four of you, if you've got those buds, there's going to be a pretty broad gamut of things that you've experienced, of ways that you were raised, of what you're gleaning from scripture now, of how the Holy Spirit is working in your life. And when you know that, when you have real conversations with one another, that you're going to be able to continue to walk together, even though your experiences may be different, even though you may take a step back and say, man, brother, I had no idea that that was coming, but you're willing to continue to walk together and to love one another. You're not going to get that unless you, my buddy of mine says, relationships, they're so stinking mutual, you know, and they've got to be mutual. One person just can't give. With eight children, as you know, Todd, with multiple children, and Scott, same for you, the personality spectrum is pretty broad, you know, and I've got one that doesn't make a lot of close friendships. And I have to remind him, I'm like, bud, friendship is a two-way street. You know, you don't get friendship by just allowing the one that doesn't have the sort of on your own personality to, you have to reach out as well. That doesn't mean you're text messaging your buds every 20 minutes, but you might check in every week or two and say, hey, how's it going? You know, and have a conversation. So these are two-way streets. So don't go it alone. You're not alone. Life may be rosy for a season, but there are rough patches. And we need one another.
And when you say, Nathan, even if you don't, like, say you're right now and you're feeling like, you know, I'm in danger. I need help right now. I mean, it's hard to start out by, I'm going to go make some friends if you don't have any friends. Mm-hmm. But there are some of those people that, you know, if you think your pastor's an approachable guy, just knock on his door, call him. I mean, that's what they do. They want to talk with you, you know, it's no big deal. When I was a pastor, I had people stop in all the time or call. And really, it's like throwing a lifeline, but it's got to begin with you, because they're not going to call you up. you know, or maybe just some guy that you, maybe you're not best friends, but you're like, you know, I can't, Joe's an easy guy to talk to, you know, just approach him and say, hey, can you talk just for a few minutes? I mean, Joe wants to, he may not have all the answers, but he can just be an encourager as well. So I think it also begins there if you don't have any of those friends. So.
Right. Well, and that's a good point, Todd, because a lot of guys, like we've talked about, they get busy and they don't think they have the time for this. So there are pastors, and I'll tell you what I'm thankful for in the church that we attend is there are some older, wiser men that have raised children, that have grandchildren, that love the Lord Jesus, that are approachable. That is my vision of what Scripture talks about the body of Christ looking like. Is we need those older men. We need the middle-aged men. We need the younger men. We need the youth, because there is strength in each of those seasons that we have things to bring to the table. Mm. You know, I'm going to turn 50 in a year and a half. And, you know, my buddies used to tell me I used to pull all-nighters to get things done. And I used to be able to just really knock it out. And a couple of my buddies, I'll wait till you turn 40. Well, I turned 40 and nothing much changed. Well, then about 45, things changed and I couldn't do those things anymore. And now, so I told both those buddies, I'm like, hey, I don't want to hear nothing about 50. Keep it to yourself. You know?
So each
of those areas, each of those seasons of life, there's power in having the body of Christ together. But, and if you don't have that, like you mentioned, those close friends or those relationships, I recommend that you seek them. I think it's essential. I really do. And if you don't have that in your church, maybe there are some fathers or some guys, a lot of these guys that are good, solid guys that, like you mentioned, that you would want to talk to or that want to talk to you, mm-hmm. not all of them, but a lot of them have been mentored by a good father. Mm-hmm. So they may even know, you know, some older, wiser resources that would be able to lean in. And, you know, Todd, that's the thing is I don't have all the answers, but I'll tell you, we need one another to the point where I'm not knocking promise keepers by any means, but I don't want to start a big promise keepers movement where we're gathering tens of thousands of men into a stadium and talking about some of these subjects. And I'm kind of weary of these larger things that just bring these emotions and then it kind of fades over time. You know, I want real long standing relationships where you can love one another is what I'm looking for. So that's what I want men to have, so that when they go through these trials, that they can have someone to lean on and vice versa, that they can reach out and show that love, you know. And I think that happens at a smaller level where you've got, like, maybe here in Whiteland, you've got a group of guys that can come alongside one another, you know, like, I'm not saying it only needs to happen there. Like I mentioned, that ad you had for the mentoring men, that's global. Their website talks about they've got guys all over the world that can mentor and that can come alongside and help. And so there's a place for that as well. But in that real relationship where you can meet face to face, you know, not via Zoom per se, which this is great. Don't get me wrong. Technology is wonderful that we can do this.
Yeah, I get tired of it too. I don't want to do any more of it.
Well, you know, with me in Whiteland and you in, is it Milford, right?
In Milford, Indiana.
Yeah, Milford and then Scott over in Cincy. I mean, yeah, I'm thankful for Zoom because, you know, we'd have to take a whole day for us to meet face to face. Hey, that's not a bad idea though, guys. It's not a bad idea.
Well, Nathan, we're going to have to continue this conversation again, because there's still a lot more bottled up in that mind of yours and heart of yours. But I appreciate you sharing these things. And again, Dad, I'm going to have you pray for us in just a second, Nathan. Okay. But, you know, Dad, if you're feeling that way, don't go any more days. You know, talk to somebody, because the more days you go, the more opportunity the enemy has to get a deeper foothold. And I'm telling you, it does not end well. It is painful. And you may think that things will get better, your kids will be okay. Those are all lies, because your kids won't be okay. And your wife needs you to fight for her. Or maybe a child needs you to fight for her. But you need someone to hold you up as you do the fighting and fight alongside you. So Nathan, why don't you pray for us? And then we'll say goodbye.
All right, I can do that. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that you love us, Lord, that you reach out to us, Lord. You are full of grace and mercy and love. You are perfect in righteousness, holiness, and justice. And we thank you that that's the type of God that we serve. We thank you that you've given us a picture of relationship, both one-on-one and husband and wife and fathers and children, Lord. We just thank you that you don't leave us out there without the standard, Lord, that we should be approaching and working toward, Lord. I thank you for Todd and his ministry and Scott and his coming alongside Todd in this ministry as well, Lord. I thank you for the men and the hearts and the lives that we can reach with wonderful relationships and resources and tools that you give us, Lord. You are so good to us, Lord. We just pray for men, Lord, that they would stay committed and that they would work hard for eternal things, Lord. We thank you and praise you in the holy and mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, Nathan, thanks for joining us. Tell your wife you didn't go off track and you were great. And we're going to have you back again because you are awesome. And hey, Dad, have a great weekend. You know, be intentional. Talk to another guy. You know, even if you're feeling great, just make that connection. And do it because you did, Dad.
And that's our show for this week, Dad. Thanks for joining us for the Family Man Show with Todd Wilson. If you have a question for the show, email Todd at familyman@familymanweb.com. If you have a question for me, you can reach me at scott@unsocializedmedia.com. Thanks for joining us, Dad. Have a great week.